Continuing another form of worship by taking communion together. Anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice for us? Me too. Well, hey, let me read a passage. This morning is going to look a little bit different. Just going to be different pauses throughout the service of just reflection, or even I'm going to use the word examination, just time to process things with the Lord. So the first thing we're going to do is kind of in the context of communion. Let me read this passage. It'll be on the screen. There'll be a few questions to ponder, and then we'll take communion together. This is from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So obviously this is a time of remembrance, the time of thankfulness, a time of reflection on the body broken and the blood shed. But let me keep reading, because oftentimes we'll stop right there, and it's enough. But I want to explain a little bit of kind of this word examination. Verse 27 and 28 says this: "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord." Verse 28, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Now, as we look at that, I think that those are a little bit more sobering words, but I think it's just a simple opportunity and a theme throughout Scripture for us to genuinely process and evaluate how are we doing? Ever thought about that? Ever thought about asking the Lord, "Lord, how is this relationship going?" You know, step one, and I don't want to make too many assumptions with this room. Step one is, have I genuinely given my life to you? Have I confessed my sin and realized that I have no hope of salvation, forgiveness, eternal life apart from you and your sacrifice? I might be familiar with Christianity, but have I given my life over to you? Is obviously a great start. But then on top of that is, that's just, you know, step one, entrance into faith in Jesus. But we want to embrace a lifestyle of just surrendering to Jesus. I'm living not for myself, but for me. You know, it's so cool. God is so gracious in what that means. You know, we're all at the very beginning of those steps of surrender. Do you guys realize that? We're all just started in what it looks like for us to give ourselves to the Lord. But then also, it's an opportunity as we take communion, as we examine, to just evaluate, Lord, is there any place of sin and rebellion against you, or darkness that I've chosen that I've yet to confess, or maybe I'm still hiding and don't want to be found out? What's so amazing is when we confess to the Lord and let him find us out, what we realize is that we fall into the hands of a merciful God that is ready to forgive us. He's been waiting for us to confess and forgive and wash us clean. So I want us to have a moment to reflect on that and confess to the Lord. And then lastly, referencing Isaiah 53, and then there's another verse in 1 Peter. It says that by his stripes, or by his blood, we are healed. So not only does his blood and what he did on the cross forgive us of our sin, but he also heals us. He heals us from deep wounds and pain or offenses that are going on in our lives. And this would be an opportunity to examine, is there anything going on in there in that category that I just need your healing, Lord? I need you to comfort me. I need you to heal me. So there's a few reflection questions that will be on the screen. Let me turn your attention to those, kind of tracking with the things I was just communicating there. And so in just a minute, we're going to let the band go ahead and leave the stage in a second and let them participate in this. But this will be a time to think about those questions. There'll be a song that's going to be going on, and then also a time to take communion together. So let me pray, and then as soon as I'm done praying, we have some communion elements. Why don't you go ahead and grab those and then go back to your seats, start talking to the Lord about these questions, and then take communion at your seat. We've got a couple stations. We have one up here in the front, and we have two on either side of the sound booth. So let me pray for us, then you guys go grab those and head back to your seats. So Lord, during this time of reflection and examination, just speak to us, Lord. Open our ears to hear your voice. Help us be honest before you. And God, we thank you for what you've done. And through this, I pray, remind us that there's always hope in the blood of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. Come and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys go ahead and get out of your seats and go grab the communion elements and then head back.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We would be completely helpless and hopeless apart from what you did for us on the cross. And we thank you that you didn't stay there, but you defeated death and sin and the devil, and you rose from the grave. And we celebrate that this morning. Even as we reflect and examine and allow you to wash and cleanse us, we also celebrate that you have made us clean and you have made us righteous, and by this sacrifice that you've done. And we receive that. We believe that this morning. We thank you, Lord. You are so good to us, so incredibly good to us. And I pray we would know that deeply in our soul this morning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You guys thankful again for Jesus? So good for us to pause and do that so regularly and consistently. Well, good morning, church. Again, thanks for being here. And if I haven't met you, my name is Mitchell. I'm the lead pastor here. And if you're a guest, would love to connect with you after service at Next Step. So stop by, as Lindsay and Larry already mentioned. This morning, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to hear a few testimonies of the college spring break mission trip called Revive. They just got back a couple days ago. And then after we hear from them, I'm going to kind of lead us in another time of reflection on a different topic. And that's going to be good. You guys ready? This is like a little family talk style this morning, all right? And so I'm going to invite up whoever it is that is sharing. So come on up, give it up for these college students and college leaders that are sharing. All right, what a crew. Awesome, awesome. Okay, do y'all care who goes first? You want to go first, Mackenzie? You come over here, yeah. Parker, you can stand next to your wife over here. Come on, buddy. Awesome. So yeah, explain the trip just for those of us that don't know, kind of what it looked like, and then these folks are going to share.
Sweet. Hello, I'm Mackenzie, and Revive is a really cool trip because it's focused on college students reaching college students in a city that is normally in America with a church that is in America. And so it translates really well back to our university here at the U of A and JBU. So there was 11 college-aged individuals, and that there, some people work full-time and don't necessarily go to college, but college-aged friends. And then the Pauls came, which was such a treat to have a family there to bring mothers and fathers to support and love. And then Chelsea was also there. Arden was there. Arden, Parker, and I led the trip. And it was just really sweet getting to see the multiple layers of different stages of life, getting to love a college campus. And the biggest, the coolest part, I guess, for me was the way that Fort Collins hosted us. We stayed in host homes, which was different than last year, and we got to, like, really get to know amazing people from the church. And then they, like, hosted us in giving us a lot of words and encouragement. On Sunday night, they prayed for us on Sunday morning, and then they covered us in prayer on Sunday night at an encounter night, and then the next morning, the staff came, and we worshiped, and they prayed over us, and then on Tuesday, and then it was just, like, so many times where they were just covering us in prayer, and it, like, we felt it, and we got to, it, like, give us really what we needed to love our city, their city well. So that's a little bit.
It's true. And one of the big themes as we went, before even leaving, I felt like the Lord said there's going to be spiritual warfare that would be needed. And so kind of like as we even showed up, felt like, I think all of us, like, felt kind of this pressure against us of, like, just for being a Christian, just for being a believer, for, like, following Jesus, which I'm sure is no surprise, you know, the further west you go, that there's a more intense pressure against, like, oh, like, kind of like, I hate Jesus. Like, I hate the fact that you're a Christian and I hate what you stand for. But we felt like, and I felt like the Lord wanted to break that off, like wanted to break that off of Fort Collins, wanted to break that over the campus, and break that off of, like, believers in Antioch, Fort Collins, and just that there'd be, like, a freedom and confidence. And, like, it's like, no, I'm not crazy. Like, I know the truth. And, like, I'm not weird. You're weird. You're weird for not believing Jesus. And just, like, believing that. You'll hear, like, snippets of that in these different testimonies. But we got to experience, like, real freedom, like, as we went to have confidence in the gospel, to have confidence, like, as we go, to not have, like, fear of man, like, control us or anything. But, like, and as, like, we got breakthrough, like, saw it happening, like, on campus, like, believers. And just, like, seeing more believers be like, oh, there's, like, God is doing way more on this campus than I think anyone really realizes. But people are kind of afraid to talk about it. And so we got to see, like, those things start to break off and start to see breakthrough the longer we're there. And so, anyways.
All right, hold on. Woo! Okay, so needed to let that out. Okay, first off, yeah, they hosted us. It was amazing. They covered us in so much prayer, so many words. I think we all received words of identity and just, like, direction and all kinds of things. It was so good. I think it helped us feel empowered to go. And it, like, it was an equipping, but it was also, like, an encouragement to our souls. Like, be encouraged. You are a child of God. You have power. You have authority. You have what it takes to go do this. Like, God is with you. You are ready. And I think that helped all of us so much. And for me, it was, like, so many words of identity for who I am in Christ and the power he's given me and the direction I'm supposed to go. And still wrestling with all of that, and it's amazing. And I just want to say, like, get uncomfortable. Be okay with change and hard things, and don't be scared. You can't lose. That's the thing. Being in this family, we don't lose. We can't lose. We already win. So no matter what happens, we win. If you feel the prompting, take it. Because if you don't, then you feel shame and guilt and conviction from the Holy Spirit. So just do it. Go for it. Don't be afraid. Use the fear as your fuel.
Amen.
Let's okay.
That's hard to follow. I was, like, doing something really specific with another girl on our team, Jenna. She's at work right now, guys, saving people's lives. But, yeah, so Jenna and I did a lot of walking. You do a lot of walking at Revive. This is my first Revive. I'm college-aged. I'm not in college right now. College students are fun. I feel like the Lord really, like, is faithful in his softening of your heart and, like, reaching people who are your own age, because it's not always easy. But Jenna and I did a lot of walking in silence, also with Parker and Allie, just, like, walking around the campus and praying in silence for many hours, which you should definitely ask her about, because that's, I think, more like her testimony. But just the Lord showing up in silence, in time in silence, which is not what I thought I would be doing at Revive. I thought I would be talking to a lot of people. But something I learned about in ADS class and just got to put into practice, and just, like, the Lord just showed me, like, any thoughts, any distractions, like, he has actually overcome those, and there's, like, no fear in your own mind, because, like, your mind is, like, he's, like, the king of your mind. And so just the, like, time in prayer and repetition of prayer and getting distracted and just, like, turning back, finding his gaze. We did a lot of that, like, looking for Jesus, like, in our imagination. And, he just, like, shows up, and he, like, changes your heart in, like, crazy ways. It's really, really cool. And we just had so much fun. And, like, we didn't have to pay for anything. Like, you guys, like, that's crazy. Like, totally, it was, like, covered. They were, like, sent the message in the group, me, like, guys, it was fully funded. And we were, like, what? Like, I was not expecting that. That was so cool. And we just got to have fun and, like, love on people and, like, seek people out. And in a way that I just don't think, like, people were caught off guard, Chelsea said, by the Lord and his love. And it was just really cool. Sorry, that was more than a minute, but yeah.
Yeah, the Lord was really moving over there. This is my second Revive, and the last one, we went to Colorado as well. And then you couldn't see as many people with, like, cross tattoos or other ministries out and about. But this time, we saw, like, what, three ministries at least walking about doing the same things we were doing. One of them was from Jonesboro, so, like, Arkansas too. And just seeing so many people with, like, crosses and just talking to them and seeing more people with the faith, but being more, like, as Parker got a word for it, just, like, silent. And we were out there to encourage them. And I actually got to encourage more believers than reaching out to non-believers. And that was really just a sweet moment to be there and see them constantly. And then once, like, middle of the day, it's hot, and we've all been walking around a lot, just seeing them and cheering them on and them cheering us on and just having those sweet, like, moments of community with the big body of church and not just our church.
Hi. So this was my first Revive, and I'm going to be so honest, driving there, I was terrified. I'm like, you want me to go talk to random people? No. Like, I was so nervous. And I would say just being, like, around people that are so hungry for the Lord, that really, really helped encourage me, and it helped show me that, like God, he just, on the first day, I didn't talk to anyone. I was terrified. I was like, woo, go Brinley, because Brinley ran up and talked to some random person. I was like, yay. Me and Chelsea were, like, praying for her. And then by, like, the third day, I was going up to random people and praying for them, and it was awesome. And even though, like I went up to these one people, they were working on a homework problem, and I was like, oh, can I pray for you? And they were like, no. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm gonna anyway, so that's fine. But it was just really cool to see how God just, like, helped me, me in my own strength be bold, and then, like, encouraging everyone else around me. Like, if anyone did anything cool, all of us were like, oh, that's so great. So it was really good.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Man, God really moved through college students, like through college, like age, like that age. And I just was encouraged by all of the people that I was around, and like us, like being like, okay, bless Brinley as she goes. And it was just like there was the both and, but just kind of like what Macy was saying, something that I was encouraged by was that the team at Fort Collins carried a kindness and a hospitality that, like, we were just family. And so their encouragement for us to reach out on campus was to just, like, genuinely care about people versus, like kind of, like, the comparison would be, like, try to get people and, like, catch, like sneak up on them and be like, do you know Jesus? Versus just care about people. Just, like, look at people in the eye, ask them how their day is going. Like, do we all, like, it feels so mystical to be like, y'all are going to go talk on campus to people. And it's like, oh, can, like, we all just go ask a stranger how their day is going and really care about what their answer is? And then at the end, before we leave, just say, can I pray for you? And if they don't, if they say no, then just pray anyway when you walk away. Like, can we do that? And so just encouraged that was, like, the heart behind it. And that was, felt like a bit of tilling in all of us just to cultivate, like, can we just be kind for Jesus? Like, can we just pay for the person's coffee behind us? And then they happened to be believers later that we saw that we had already made, like, another part of our connection team, like, we'd already connected with. So it was just like, yeah, God, just catching people off guard with kindness. Like, people would genuinely be like I would see people, it just was like a fresh, like, spray of water on their face. Spirit of God. So it was really encouraging to be with young people on fire for the Lord.
Yes, I'm Sarah. I'm not in college at all, which is kind of fun, though, because then you can relate. You're like, I was there one day, and Stephen and I, my husband, and our three kids went. And so we went because we love college students, and we think that God's moving powerfully in this generation. So we're like, we want to be a part of that. We want to go learn from them. And so that's why we went. And I'm a teacher, so I had time. I think that the two main things is that God, that I want to testify to, is that God moves and he speaks still. And so Stephen and I constantly were looking at each other, and we went to go, like, rub shoulders with college students, but really, like, we were the ones that were poured into the most. I think, like, the teachings were amazing, and we are just, it was exactly what our family needed in that moment, and just words that were spoken to us confirmed a lot in my heart and in Stephen's heart. And so we're just so thankful that God still moves and speaks. And then secondly, is through his body. Like, he moves through his body. All of the encouragement that we got was through his body, other believers. And so just the gifts that we got to see through teaching and encouragement and evangelism and intercession and hospitality, these are all things that the Spirit is. And so it's so fun to get to just witness that. We feel really lucky to be able to be a part of it. And so it was a great week. It was amazing. So, yeah.
Come on, give it up for these guys. Y'all can head back to your seats. Woohoo! So, hey, what we'll do is we will, let's pray that all the things that God did in Fort Collins and on CSU's campus would bear lasting fruit. They just sowed a lot of seeds, and so let's pray. Lord, waters those seeds, and that people keep being encouraged, being strengthened believers that they found, and then every person they got to talk to about Jesus, even every person that rejected them. Let's pray right now that God would touch their hearts and turn their hearts. All right, sound good? And let's pray that this team would bring it back to their campus. Bring it back to U of A, bring it back to JBU, and see God move, see revival on those campuses. All right, sound good? We're going to pray in one voice all at the same time. Give you like 10 seconds, all right? Go for it. Start praying fervently. Go for it. Lord, we ask you for it. God, water every seed that was planted this past week. Thank you for this team's willingness to go and give up spring break. And God, we ask for lasting fruit. God, we ask for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Fort Collins as it is in heaven. Would you revive that city? Would you revive Colorado State University and just pour out your spirit there, God? Thank you for your love and your care for every student there. And Lord, we ask that they would bring the fire back to Northwest Arkansas. We ask for your kingdom to come at JBU and at the University of Arkansas. Lord, come and have your way. God, bring in many students into your kingdom. Bring a shift and a change to the atmosphere of those campuses. And Lord, be glorified, be known, Jesus. Would it be normal for people to start following you and surrendering to you and giving their life over to you, Jesus? Thank you. We believe in this generation. God, revive the next generation of college students in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give somebody next to you a high five and say, good prayer. Come on. Yeah. So good. That's so encouraging. Just to pause and listen and take time to hear. That was a church family win right there. You know, most of us didn't go, but we got to see a part of the extension of our body. Go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go love and care for people. And that's just such a huge win. So it's just awesome for us to take time to listen to them and to hear. And also, one of them mentioned it, but many of you guys financially supported them, and they were able to go with very, very cheap cost. And so thank you guys so much for sowing into the trip in that way. All right, hey, I'm going to look at one quick passage, and this is just perfect on the heels of the testimony of a group from our church going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, going to care for people that are far from him, going kind of into, quote-unquote, a harvest field and representing Jesus. I'm going to have a little bit of time in Scripture and then, again, another reflection time as we close this morning. All right, so if you have a Bible, go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to look at one little passage. And then again, there'll be some reflection questions on the screen, all right? So Matthew chapter 9, and as you're turning there, I'm going to just share something I was praying over our church this morning, and every once in a while, it's just really good for me, maybe helpful for you to hear me express my heart of like, what is the desire that I have or that we as a staff have for this church body? So a lot of different ways I can say that, but here's a couple of things I wrote. This morning in my journal, as I was praying for this morning, here it is. Lord, I pray that this church body would be full of people that are deep in you, alive in you, free in you, honest before you, pure before you, really knowing you as their best friend, partnering with you in the Great Commission, joyfully surrendering to you, generous with many things, who love each other deeply and genuinely and are filled with the power of the Spirit, loving righteousness and hating wickedness. So I was praying that over you guys. To summarize, man, I want this to be a church full of genuine disciples of Jesus. I want you guys to not be, you know, it's easier in our American culture and how church kind of works to kind of lean or depend too heavily on a structure or a building or a pastor or a sermon or a podcast when all of those things are beautiful gifts, but they're supposed to point us to knowing Jesus personally ourselves. Like every time you hear the word of God spoken, every time you hear a testimony, every time we're in worship, it's to stir the Spirit of God inside of you, that hunger for you to go and get to know him more yourself. Is this making sense? And man, I want us to have all of us, to have that day that's coming. We never know when, but when we're standing before the Lord in eternity, and for us to have a real and deep relationship with Jesus, that we're not just meeting him for the first time, you know, but it's like, oh, we're embracing our best friend that we've built history with for decades. So I just want to remind you, that is my heart. And if going deep with God and doing things like reflection questions where you're talking to him and trying to listen, if all that's new for you, that is totally great and fine. Like, I want us to all feel like we can enter in at whatever place we need to. But I want us to work those muscles and learn, what does it look like for me to have a deep personal relationship with God myself, learning to hear his voice, learning to fellowship with him, and to be his best friend. Is this making sense? This is what I want for us. And so it's good for us to kind of pause. And though this might feel like a sermon because I've opened my Bible and I'm talking a lot, I'm going to try to just make it short so that I can give you more time just to go directly to him. All right? There we go. All right. So look at Matthew 9. And I think that this is an important passage for us. We're about to enter into spring, or you could even say spring is here. Anybody excited about that? Winter gone, and spring is here. It's amazing. But, you know, just even in the natural, we have seasons changed. Also in the spirit, there's just different seasons and different things that feel different, maybe different things the Lord's doing, and feel like he is entering us into a season that's going to look and feel a little bit different. Really practically for us is, you know, April, we have Easter coming up in a few weeks. Anybody thankful for the resurrection? Yeah. You know, uniquely in American culture, Easter Sunday is a Sunday that many people that usually don't walk into a church building will walk into a church building. What an amazing opportunity for the church to preach the gospel, to pray and prepare our hearts, to believe for a great harvest. That's just a cycle that's built into our culture. What a great opportunity, right? You know, we could look at that and say, look at all those, I hear them called Christers. You know, those that go to Christmas and Easter services. Christmas. Anybody heard that before? No. All right. I used to be one of those. And, you know, we could look down kind of like, you know, shame on you. You made our parking lot more full on Easter. I'm like, what a horrible perspective. Instead of, wow, thank you, God, that they're coming anyways. Let's believe for God to powerfully encounter them with his love, with his spirit. And a couple of things that are going to be a little different for us as a church body, we want to lean into and believe for God to move. And so Lindsay's already mentioned that in a couple, like within this window between now and Easter, we're doing a 24 hours of prayer and worship, April 11th and 12th. That's very intentionally placed in our kind of yearly calendar because we're going to be praying for the harvest. We're going to be praying for God to move in Northwest Arkansas, softening hearts, bringing people to himself, believing for breakthrough. We're also doing some things, mainly through our life groups, going to be really encouraging us to learn how to share our faith. Learn how to talk to somebody about Jesus. And that could be a coworker, that could be a family member, that could be a stranger. But how many of you, if you're honest, talking to someone about Jesus or sharing your faith is a little uncomfortable? All right. Wow, half of you, it's not. All right, get up here. You take this microphone because it's uncomfortable for us sometimes in this room. And I want us to learn, how do we do that? If it's not uncomfortable, praise God. Keep walking and operating in that spirit of boldness and keep going. But man, I want the church to be, our church and every church, to be alive and full of faith and confidence and boldness. Like Parker was saying earlier, that man, we know the truth, we walk in the truth, and the Spirit of God's with us, and we can be expectant from moving around us. So anyways, there's a couple things that we're doing in the next few weeks, kind of some pushes, so to speak, sharing our faith, learning how to do that, inviting people to church, praying for folks, praying and asking the Lord to move. And so I'm excited for this season, but here's what I want to do. Before we jump into all of that, because that can look like a lot of kind of external ministry-related things, I want to start right here in our hearts and kind of ask the question, how much do we care about others knowing Jesus? That's the question. And so let's look at this passage in Matthew 9, because I think we see something really clear and cool about Jesus here. It says this, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Let me pause right there. So Jesus, being Jesus, he's just doing the things of the kingdom of God. He's just preaching the gospel. He's doing that Isaiah 61, you know, prophecy. Hey, I've come to bring good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, bring healing. He's doing what he said he's doing. He's all this ministry effort, but it doesn't stem from, like, I should do this because the Father wants me to do this. It doesn't stem from, like trying to be good enough. It doesn't stem from, I don't know, like obsessed with like the, what's the results? What are the numbers? It doesn't, it's not, that's not his motivation. Look at the next verse. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Everybody say compassion. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What was the motivator for Jesus to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel, being a part of seeking and saving the lost? It was love, and it was compassion. It was the reality and the awareness of the state of, man, you are, what did he say? These are a strong word, harassed and helpless. Like, man, he is broken in his heart for those that are far from God. And that was the motivator that launched him into seeking and saving the lost, preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, healing the sick. Is this making sense? Right after that, verse 37, and this is the passage that we're going to dive into over the next maybe 4 or so weeks, a new series we're going to start next week called The Harvest is Plentiful. Verse 37, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So as Jesus kind of modeled for us and explained his heart, moved with compassion, like something inside of him broke that led him to do the ministry he was doing, then he immediately says to his followers, hey, harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Let's pray and let's go. So I think this is an awesome example and model for us, is he wants us to see that connection, that we're not just in it to do the ministry things, to feel good about ourselves, to try to like see more, I don't know, not to see an amount of people saved or baptized or whatever, but it's like, let the love of God overflow through us and let's see what God might do and see who he might bring in the harvest. Is this making sense? But again, let me go back to that question, and this is difficult to catch in ourselves. It's difficult to catch in me when I get into ruts and places where I honestly am like, oh, my life is so full, or I might be so stressed, or there's so much going on that what if I ask myself the question, how much do I actually care about those far from God coming to know him? And I think a sign of how much I care is, what does it look like for me when I interact with people in Northwest Arkansas that are not you in this church building? You know, which is an important part of my job. You know, it's a sign of what's going on in my heart is, you know, if I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anybody, you know, I'm just like, no, I'm not going to share my faith. No, I'm not going to do that. But it's good for us to acknowledge where are we at, because from that place, we can then ask God to help us to take another step of like, Lord, increase my care, increase my compassion. And just acknowledging the things that are so normal for many of us, the fear of man, the fear of rejection, caring what people think about us, afraid to look like a loser or not cool. And so I want us to take time and give us about 5 or 10 minutes here to process that question with the Lord and a few other specifics. Once you put those next questions up here. And this is how we'll close out our time. We'll take time to reflect. And then also, we will take time to pray together at the end. And so we're asking God first to reveal his heart and his care and his love and his compassion. Just ask him to, and I want to encourage you, pause after each of these questions and just kind of listen to the Lord and see what unique, specific thing he might bring to your mind. And then second, we're going into how much do I care? What's my current state right now? And then lastly, just take some time to pray and ask for God's heart in us. Is this making sense, everybody? Awesome. This is really important for us to learn how to go to God with this stuff. All right? So let me pray, and then we'll put some music on and have time to reflect. So Father, here we are before you, and we just open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, and just ask that you would speak to us, reveal your heart to us. And thank you that you accept us no matter where we are at with this topic of how much we care about the lost, the broken, the hurting around us. But Lord, we want to have your heart. So lead this time of reflection in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're going to close it out just with a couple minutes of prayer. You can put the music back on. Why don't you turn to just 2 or 3 people next to you, and let's pray for, quote-unquote, the harvest. Let's pray for Northwest Arkansas. Let's pray for people in this region to give their life to Jesus, to be open and hungry for the Lord, to Start following him for chains to be broken off people's lives. All right? Enough direction. Just take maybe just 10 to 15 second prayers in your little group of three, and then we'll close it up in just a couple minutes here. All right? So introduce yourself. If you don't know your group, get in a group of two, three, four. Say hi. Shake a hand. And then start praying. Start praying for the harvest. Start praying for Northwest Arkansas. Pray for people to give their life to Jesus. As Jesus, we lift our voice together as a church family, and we pray over the harvest of Northwest Arkansas. You said it is plentiful. We pray for thousands of people in this region to give their lives over to you. Would you do a great softening of hearts in Northwest Arkansas? We pray for coworkers, neighbors, people we see at coffee shops, the college students in this region. God, we ask for breakthrough and ask for open hearts. Reveal yourself, Jesus. Pour out your spirit. Draw people to yourself like never before. And God, we ask that your church, your people, us in this room, but Lord, your body over Northwest Arkansas would rise up as bold witnesses, loving witnesses, compassionate witnesses, representing you everywhere that we go. And God, we want to see your kingdom come. We thank you, Lord, that you are hearing us from heaven right now. And God, I pray right now over our hearts. Go ahead and put your hand on your heart just for a second. God, we ask for help to care deeply, to have the compassion and the care and the love that you have. Would you put that inside of us for the lost and hurting and broken and those far from you? God, put that desire in us, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you're hearing us and that this matters as we pray and as we seek you. So we trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Great job praying, guys. Give the people next to you a high five and say, way to go praying this morning.